Hello and welcome to this month's Centre for Brexit Studies podcast on borders. And today we're going to focus on Gibraltar, which is why I have our Centre expert for International Relations and European Foreign Affairs with me. Can I introduce Dr. Arantxa Gomez Arana? Hello, Arantxa.
Hello, Jess. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Good. Looking forward to today's podcast.
Absolutely.
So, if you don't mind, I'm just going to dive right in. So, your research interests include international relations, European Union foreign affairs, and Spanish politics. Amongst the many issues with Britain's exit from the European Union is the concern over Gibraltar, or the Rock, as it's sometimes referred to. Why has Gibraltar become an issue in this process?
In order to understand why we are talking today about Gibraltar, we need to go back to the history of the ROC, as they like to call it, and the history of Spain and the UK. We don't need to go all the way back to the Utrecht Treaty, just to the 20th century history. At the time of the Spanish Civil War, we can see how there was collaboration in the sense that people that were running away from the Spanish Civil War, and in particular from Franco, they will cross the border and they will look for a place where to hide in Gibraltar. During World War II, the Rock Gibraltar was used also by the UK and the Allies as a strategic place, because although Spain was not participating in World War II, it was more inclined to support Germany as a consequence of Franco's and Hitler's relationship. The amount of espionage that took place during World War II had again an impact on the perception of the Rock as a very strategic resource for the UK. The history of Gibraltar cannot be understood if we do not look at security policies during the 20th century and during the 21st century. Gibraltar has been used mainly as a port for submarines and ships that cross the strait all the way into the Mediterranean and on the way back. The economy of Gibraltar traditionally through the 20th century has been based on, or has been always linked to this port and to the sector of security and defense. Things started to change in the 70s when Spain became a democracy after Franco died and joined the European Union. The issue of the sovereignty of Gibraltar came to the table again. We need to remember that in 1969, Franco decided to close the border between Gibraltar and Spain. So we have first the Spanish Civil War, then we have World War II, and then we have Franco dominating Spanish politics. During that time, Gibraltar and Spain had a tough or difficult relationship because Franco had clear goals in relation to the sovereignty and the future of Gibraltar. When Gibraltar decided to have their own constitution, Franco decided to close the border between Spain and Gibraltar in 1969. That border was not open again until 1984, and to some extent could be linked to the negotiations of the Spanish membership into the European Union. During the 1980s, we had the negotiations of Spain and the European Community at that time, and one of the key issues was the future of this dispute. It was decided that it would be negotiated between Spain and the UK, and that the rest of the European Community would not truly get involved. Whatever it was the outcome of those negotiations, they would just accept them to some extent. And as a consequence of that, Spain and the UK, first, they had the Declaration of Lisbon in 1980 and then the Brussels Agreement of 1984, in which both Spain and the UK agree on revisiting the issue of co-sovereignty or the future of Gibraltar as either a region that could be, to some extent, more integrated into Spain. However, there hasn't been much progress since the 1980s. all the way until now, 2018. In fact, if anything, there had been many problems with the border because of some sort of disputes between Spanish fishermen and the Gibraltar police, and also in relation to the airport of Gibraltar, and also the perception of the tax system in Gibraltar as a system that could be seen as favoring certain type of business. When the UK decided to have a referendum on the future of its membership, there was no, during the campaign, there was no real discussion of the future of Gibraltar. And there was no real discussion of other borders, such as the one between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. However, as soon as the outcome came out in Spain, there was a very clear reaction where the then Minister of Foreign Affairs decided that, publicly say that the future of Gibraltar had to be discussed. It's difficult to find any reference in the news, British newspapers or British media in general, about Gibraltar until the spring of 2017. At that time, the European Union said that the future of Gibraltar will have to be discussed also with Spain. In fact, Spain will have a say in relation to the future of Gibraltar, and consequently, if there was no agreement on the border, the final agreement between the European Union and the UK on Brexit could not go ahead. In relation to the negotiations between the European Union and the UK, the topic has been kept very, very quiet, and it seems that there hasn't been much progress so far. The issue of Gibraltar has become an issue at the time of the negotiations of the British exit of the European Union because it was already an issue before the referendum in the first place. It has to be taken into consideration that it has not been publicly discussed for the last 30 years. However, from the moment that Spain tried to join the European Union, it became a European issue. The lack of agreement on the future of Gibraltar has traditionally created problems in different sectors, as I already mentioned. Until we know the outcome of the negotiations, it will be difficult to understand what kind of future, what kind of border Gibraltar and Spain are going to have. However, considering the amount of people that cross the border on a daily basis to work, which at this point is something like 14,000 people, it is difficult to imagine a hard border that will delay the cross of these 14,000 people. It's worthy to mention that those 14,000 people crossing the borders, not all of them are Spanish workers. A third of them or something, almost a third of them are non-Spanish, but mainly EU citizens who end up working in Gibraltar but living in Spain. If you go to Gibraltar, you can see that the level of integration between Gibraltar and Spain is obvious on the streets, on the society. And in fact, the language, you can either speak Spanish or English because many people speak both languages. And many people in Gibraltar, they have a family member that is from Spain or from the UK. The level of integration, the level of interaction is not only necessary for Gibraltar, but also for the region of Campo in the south of Spain, because 25% of the economy of that region benefits from Gibraltar. The level of interdependence created is something that is at stake with these negotiations. When you go there and when you talk to experts on the topic, they always highlight the social aspect more than the financial or the political or even the security aspect. The social aspect is the most important one because if the border is closed again, as if it was in 1969, then many families will be split potentially, many jobs will disappear potentially, and it will create problems on both sides of the border. If we compare it with Northern Ireland, there are similar problems. However, in the case of Gibraltar, it has always been stable and safe piece of land, and it has never had the problems that we all know that have taken place in Northern Ireland and in the Republic of Ireland. The border in Northern Ireland will have a bigger impact on British politics. And to some extent, the border that is implemented there, it will have to be implemented in Gibraltar. However, from a political point of view, if the perception in relation to Gibraltar is that what is at stake is not just 14,000 jobs or the potential loss of a very small piece of land, it's the perception that also that there are other British territories overseas where many issues that Gibraltar is facing could potentially also be faced in those places. And as a consequence of the exit of the UK from the European Union, these British overseas territories will lose the protection of being part of the European Union, even though they are far away, geographically speaking, from the European Union.
So it's not really even just about a political standpoint. It's also there's a lot of emotion involved there as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you've been researching this book. Mm-hmm. Have you found that? Do people appreciate that?
Yes. In relation to the discussion about emotions when it comes to the referendum and when it comes to the outcome of the referendum cannot be put aside, because we need to remember that Gibraltar, at the time of the referendum, almost 96% of the population voted to stay in the European Union. However, the final outcome is to leave, and they are in a position where, geographically speaking, they are far away from the UK. However, they have strong links with the UK. At political level, as I already mentioned, and they're considered a strategic point for British foreign affairs, and it is considered also a strategic point for security issues in the region, in the Mediterranean. At the same time, the discourse on emotions and feelings in Gibraltar is different than in the UK, because in Gibraltar they know what it's like to have a border, a hard border. They know how isolated they will become, while in the UK they have not gone through that experience. The emotions in Gibraltar are probably being affected by past memories and by memories of how things were. We need to remember that when they closed the border, many families were split automatically. And I was talking with somebody in relation to my research, and this person was mentioning how at some point members of the families will be on both sides of the border. So somebody who just had a baby could show the baby to the grandparents that were living on the other side of the border. It was a very emotional time for the families that were split. The kind of emotions and the kind of discourse on emotions that we have in the UK is slightly different, because over here they do want to have a border and they do want to create some sort of barrier or fence that will protect the UK to some extent from higher numbers of migration. The EU citizens living in the UK who have married British citizens are probably the ones sharing the same emotions than those in Gibraltar are having, because they will be the ones to some extent being split. The concerns in the UK for many EU citizens is not just about what kind of relationship they're going to have with their extended family, the British side of the family, but also about the future of their own children. We need to remember that many children that were born in the UK, if the father of the mother is not British, and depending on the outcome, those families could end up being split, because those children might acquire the other nationality, either Italian, Spanish, Greek, Polish, etc. And they are in a situation where they don't know where, when the UK leaves the European Union, they don't know in which circumstances they're going to be. They don't know if the children will be allowed to stay in the UK. They don't know if the father or the mother, if they will have to leave the country also. And those emotions, the level of uncertainty, is adding a more emotional discourse to the debate that we have seen today, either on Twitter or newspapers or just by talking to your neighbors. If we can learn something from the case of Gibraltar, is that closing borders does not help either to Spain or Gibraltar, but also to the future relations of the regions, because in the future they will have to heal from those memories. They will have to learn to live with the consequences of those memories, and it will take a lot of time to build trust again between both borders and places.
In view of what you were saying about they know what it's like to have a border and that it can be problematic, do you think it's likely that that is the way the British government will go with Gibraltar? Because it just seems so unworkable.
It's difficult to say what's going to happen in the end, because this is August and in theory we are living on the 29th of March in less than 10 months and we don't have an agreement yet. I personally find difficult to believe that the border will be implemented not just in Gibraltar but also in Northern Ireland, because both societies will not really accept the consequences of the border. My perception is that, at least in the case of Gibraltar, even if the outcome is of a no deal and they have to establish a hard border, both societies will find a way of going around it in order to control the damage that the border will cause. The main difference between now and with Franco's decision is that it was a unilateral decision that Franco took without any consideration, obviously, for the families and the societies on both sides of the border. In this case, both sides of the border do not want a hard border. They do not want to have to go through all the checks and all the controls and all the extra time, work and paperwork that will require having a hard border there. And because of that, I personally believe that if both societies are against that, they will find a way to overcome the negative outcome of that kind of border.
Yes, clearly a very emotional subject.
I think there's something we need to remember about borders. Borders are created by humans. It's a decision to put a border there, but it doesn't mean that they will always be respected, in the sense that you implemented a border because you want to separate two things, whatever they are. In this case, you're separating two regions, but if we look at other borders, the border, for example, between the US and Mexico, or if we look at, to some extent, the migration crisis, just because you have a border, it doesn't mean that you're going to stop people from crossing it.
Exactly. And I suppose in the case of the UK, we're an island.
Yes.
So we have that water, but in many cases, as you say, it is a physical decision to say this is where one country starts, this is where another one ends.
Yes, as you say, absolutely right. It is an island. However, the Republic of Ireland,
yeah,
is just there, and you cannot control every aspect of the border between between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. But then we need to remember that there is not just the land border. You also have the maritime borders, the sea borders. So the UK will have to control and survey and check every single aspect of the maritime borders. It's just unworkable, in my opinion. Every single ferry that goes from the Republic of Ireland to the UK and the other way around. And it's just, I find it very difficult I don't think it's going to work.
So obviously we've covered quite a lot there. So I just wanted to end on, what do you believe the future holds for the ROC?
The future of the ROC, from a political point of view, that's the most difficult one, because of the history of both the UK and Spain in relation to the ROC, they will have to find a solution if the UK wants to have an agreement with the European Union, for sure. But even after the agreement, whatever is the agreement, they will have to keep working on improving the political aspect of the relationship. It has been a very contentious issue for centuries, and it's not going to be resolved and healed just overnight. It will take many years to normalize the political aspect of the relationship. In relation to the social aspect, the level of interdependence between both communities is so intense that it will work on its own. In relation to, and the level of integration will keep just increasing. In relation to the financial aspect or the economy of the rock was relying heavily on the port as the main source of for the economy, and that is not the case anymore. They're also receiving income from the tourist sector. They receive millions of tourists every year. However, that is not enough, economically speaking, to survive in that sense. And the key aspect for the future of the rock is not the political one and is not the societal one. It is actually the financial one. They have to find a real future for its economy in order to be able to survive. Let's not forget that Gibraltar is surrounded by a Spanish region that traditionally has been economically affected by high level of unemployment. The rock will have to survive, economically speaking, pretty much on its own, because tourism will not be enough to provide for the entire rock. In my opinion, the political aspect will be resolved at some point due to pragmatism, and the societal aspect is resolved already. However, the economic aspect is the one that truly is something that will have to be developed properly and for them to survive independently.
Thank you, Dr. Arantxa Gomez Arana. That was extremely informative. So thank you for your time today. If you found today's podcast interesting and would like more information from the centre, please visit our website at www.bcu.ac.uk/centre-for-brexit-studies, where you'll also find details on how to sign up for our monthly newsletter. Bye for now.